Phil Rogers joins us, MLB.com. Phil, the Cubs, what's happened in 2 weeks? What happened here to the Cubbies?
I don't know, but that I think I was probably last on talking about that 116-win Mariners team in 2001, and I think we can stow that kind of talk. They, you know, I think their starting pitching has looked vulnerable. You know, Arrieta's gone from being a guy that expected to start the All-Star game to probably maybe a guy that gets the fifth inning now. I don't know. And pretty much up and down the rotation, they've taken a little step back, and the lineup has missed Dexter Fowler, who's been on the disabled list with a hamstring injury. And they've had a run of other injuries, but I think Fowler has been the worst of it. But I believe going into the game today, they still have that 10-game lead in the division. So they're looking at some players, evaluating some situations, and kind of treading water as they wait to make a move or two to improve their bullpen.
What do you think they're going to do bullpen-wise? Of course, you got to get the ball to the bullpen, and Lester gets lit up today. And, of course, you know, I thought Lester may start the All-Star game here, but we'll see. Arrieta has struggled. Phil, you know, he says he's not pitching as well as he can. Where do they go for help? Do they think about the rotation first, or do they go to the bullpen first?
Well, they've always coveted the controllable young starters. I mean, they're very aware that Arrieta is a free agent after next year and looking for a 7-year contract that runs against their soft policies. I don't think they have anything set in stone, but they're not crazy about giving a guy that'll be in his 30s a 7-year contract. So they would look at the Sonny Graves of the world, Julio Tehran of the Braves, although I'm told there are people aren't as high on Tehran as you would you might think. But I can guarantee they've identified some young starting pitchers that they might take a run at. It's not like they really have starters they could transition to the bullpen, and they have had a lot of depth in the rotation. They're doing something interesting this week where they're going to Adam Warren, who was certainly one of their best 3 or 4 relievers. They sent him to the minors to make 2 starts, and he's coming back this week to plug into the rotation to give everybody a little extra, all the other starters some extra time. I don't think they're going to skip any starters, but along with an extra day's rest here before the All-Star break, then the All-Star break, and Warren will probably make another start after the All-Star break, so the starters will get extra rest really before their next 3 starts maybe. I think they feel like that'll be important, you know, certainly for Arrieta, who pitched almost 250 innings last year, had never thrown 180 actually between the minors and the majors, so he took a huge step up in the age of Lackey and Lester. I think they feel like that's important. But as for the bullpen, I've been saying this a long time and it hasn't changed. I mean, they covet Andrew Miller. Mm-hmm. And if they can't get Andrew Miller from the Yankees, they would love to have Aroldis Chapman. They want to have, if they could, they would build a bullpen as close to the Royals bullpen of 2015. Or 2014 actually was the better Royals bullpen and getting them to the playoffs, and when they had Greg Holland in the closer role, I think that's what they would look to do. And I have said and written that they're going to make try to put together a package deal that would get both Miller and Chapman but right now the Yankees aren't to the point of selling, so it's all somewhat moot. You would think they will get there. The Yankees, I think they're 4 back in the wild card. But if they happen to play well the next couple of weeks, maybe they would hold. And certainly the thing with Miller, signed through 2018. So that's a big part of the reason why the Cubs covet him, whether he's going to be their closer or be give them a big left-hander. That's one part that they have not had in the Theo Epstein era is you know, kind of a left-handed bullpen neutralizer. And, you know, I think Doolittle is on their list. I think, you know, the injury he's dealing with now makes that debatable. Maybe Jake McGee from the Rockies, who just was just activated today. But, you know, I don't know that there's a lot of plan Bs behind those two arms in New York that everyone expects to hit the market.
Boy, interesting, Phil. A lot of interesting things you said there. Is there, and believe me, I love Theo Epstein, and I know the Cubs are going for it. They are absolutely going to go for it. They've got major league pieces that they that they can trade, which I think is going to get the Yankees' interest. But is there any uneasiness about looking back at the Cardinals at all, or you think this thing is just a done deal?
I'm sure within their front office, you know, I mean, nobody runs more scared than baseball executives who have leads, has been my experience. But I think it's more, you know, they're not going to say it. And, you know, Joe Maddon was saying when things were going great, look, we're going to have some tough times. That's what they're having now. But I think it is more about matching up for the postseason and what looks like a really great field in the National League with, you know, with the Nationals, with the Giants. You figure the Dodgers are going to get better. And then I actually think maybe they look at the Pirates as a team that has a better chance to get it going in the second half and make a run than the Cardinals when they look within their division. Now, the Pirates have further to go at this point. They've actually been holding off the Brewers for third place in the division. I mean, there have been I'm not sure what the gap is today, but there have been days where they're only two games ahead of the Brewers, and they've just not been able to get anything going. But it's largely the same team. If Francisco Liriano started the pitch, if McCutchen started to have a McCutchen year, you know, they've got a chance to put together a good second half. But I think they're very confident that okay. They're going to hang on to the division, and then it's going to be get ready for, you know, incredibly intense best of five division series against another very good National League team. And, you know, it looks like the Mets are going to sweep them.
Yes.
And this comes off the championship series sweep. And so, you know, I think people would say, oh, the Cubs don't want to match up with the Mets. The Cubs are very aware that they were 7-0 against the Mets in the regular mm-hmm. season last year before they got swept in the playoffs. So I don't think they're going to worry too much about, I don't think the New York Mets are going to become their boogeyman.
We will see. Just don't show any pictures of 1969 to any of the players. That's all. Just don't show them that, and you'll be fine.
Speaking of 69, R.I.P. Jim Hickman. Part of the 69 Mets. Oh, yeah. 69 Cubs, rather.
Yeah, he got the hit that drove in Pete Rose. I said to Ray Fossey the other day, because that was the All-Star game, I said, you know, couldn't you have a better pitch to Jim Hickman, and then Rose wouldn't have knocked you over? And he said Clyde Wright couldn't throw anything in the right spot, so that was the problem, not Jim Hickman, who got the hit in that 12th inning that Pete Rose scored and virtually changed the career of Ray Fossey. But just that's an aside. But, yeah, Jim Hickman, nice player, plays for the Dodgers, the Mets, and the Cubs, and he was a very, very good player, and I'm glad you brought that up. Phil, on the other side of town, Chris Sale is doing something that brings back the memory of Denny McClain. If he wins 24, he's doing what McClain did back in 68. If he wins three-quarters of his starts, how about Chris Sale?
Yeah, he won in Houston without his best stuff. You know, he's really not, you know, when he was 9-0 in 9 starts, I mean, he was really doing some special stuff, and he's cooled off since then, but, you know, he is piling up the wins. And the big sign with the White Sox, I think, would be James Shields' start this week. He looked a whole lot like James Shields. Mm. And I think you can't write the White Sox off, even though I know that they're going to make a run to catch Cleveland. I think we've seen Cleveland establish themselves as one of the elite American League teams, and with that rotation, they would appear to be built to last. But in that wild card picture, you know, when you look at a rotation of Sale, Quintana, Carlos Rodon, and a productive James Shields, you know, if you're looking at three more months of when you can run those guys out, I think that gives you a chance. And, you know, Todd Frazier is doing good things. He's not hitting for average, but he certainly has played third base solid and is driving in runs. Jose Abreu had his best month of the year by far in June. He was pretty atrocious in April and May by his standards. So I think the White Sox are trending up. You know, they're like most of the teams in the American League. They got some potentially fatal flaws, but they have a lot of high-end pieces, and it does start with Chris Sale.
Well, it's going to be a great second half, and I'm glad to have you on, and you're sort of our stock market on the Cubs, you know, up or down. So we're not going to talk 116 anymore, but let's see what happens in a few weeks, and it'll be fun to talk to you before the trade deadline, because I know Theo Epstein will be aggressive. So, Phil, always great to have you on. I really enjoy getting your perspective.
Well, I have fun talking to you too, Marty, and have a good day today with the G's, and then a fun July 4th.
Yeah, very much so, and Cubs are coming in at some point. Well, actually, the Giants go there, so we got that to look forward to as well. All right, have a good day, Phil, and we'll talk to you shortly.
Thanks, Marty.
All right, Phil Rogers, MLB.com. The guy knows Chicago baseball. He knows Chicago baseball.